right in between Habakkuk and Haggai. That'd help you. Just go back a few books from Malachi. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse number 14. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteneth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty men shall cry there bitterly. That day is as a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wastedness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet, an alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. Today we are commemorating the death of some 3,000 people that took place almost instantaneous. We have Flight 11, that first plane that went into the tower. Flight 175, that was the second hit. Flight 77 that hit the Pentagon. And then Flight 93 that was aborted by 40 brave people and landed in Pennsylvania. I think probably all of us will remember, if I was to go around the building and talk and ask, probably every one of us that are old enough to remember would remember where we were the day that we saw. I personally had flown out to Oklahoma City to preach in the chapel service of Heartland Baptist Bible College. That Tuesday morning, as I sat on the edge of the bed getting ready for the day, I had the TV on and I went out for a bite of breakfast. And when I came back in, the entire world had changed. I looked as I walked by, I thought, well, they're advertising some kind of new movie. And then I sat there and watched a moment, and I knew it wasn't that. I sat there and watched that second plane fly into the tower. And those days will never be forgotten. I had flown in, but I could not fly out. And a couple of men from here at the church had to come and get me. 12 hours there, 12 hours back. Didn't even stop. They turned around and came right back. The Bible says here that the day of the trumpet and against alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. This morning I want to give you some towers that are in the Scripture. Towers that are there that we probably overlook and don't think too much about. The first one is found in the book of Genesis, probably the best known. Called the Tower of Babel. If you read in the book of Genesis chapter 11 verses 1 through 9, you'll find that those folks were of one language and of one mind, and they had set their heart that they were going to build a tower to God. They were going to build a tower to heaven. Of course, we know the story that they had religion, but they had religion without God. And that kind of religion is always a failure. And anything that type of religion tries to do is a failure. Religion without God is a religion of wrong believing. There's a lot of people this morning that are religious, but they are religiously wrong in the sect that they are in. They certainly lip serve maybe many times the things of the gospel, but in reality they do not believe, and they have a total different definition of words that we have. And so therefore the tower that they are building is a tower of religion without God, and it is a tower that failed. They said, let us go, we'll build a tower to God. It'll reach into the heavens. Of course, we know the story how God came and confused their language and the tower stopped, it failed. Man's ways and man's religions, man's ideas that are without God will always end in failure. I think it's a tragedy this morning. It's not maybe as tragic as the loss of all those 3,000 souls, but it is certainly a tragic thing this morning that as they stand at the place where the towers were, that there's not one word of prayer uttered to God. That tower will fail. All they read Shakespeare, but they wouldn't pray to God. In fact, the clergy, the preachers, were not even invited. They're not welcome to be there. I remember after 9/11, all of a sudden, churches all around this country were being filled with people. But I'm afraid that tower failed because it was a religious type of fear that we had to do something. Now the churches again are empty and devoid of many of those people. In 10 years, some of those have gone off into eternity. We watch the people as they ran. We see the rerunning of the slides and the pictures. I sat there and I wonder how many of those folks now are in eternity. How many of them no longer are upon this earth? I wonder how many of those folks built upon a tower that failed. Let us go. Let us build. If you turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter number 13, you'll find there is another tower that's just mentioned in passing by the Lord. In Luke chapter 13 and let's look at verse 1. There was present at the season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said, and suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered or permitted such things? And Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them. Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelleth in Jerusalem? I tell you nay. But except you repent, ye shall likewise perish. Here we find Jesus mentions the tower of Siloam. This is a tower in the city of Jerusalem that had fallen during the life of the Lord, and they are coming to Him and wanting Him to judge men concerning the sin of people. And they mention this blood that had been mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus said, do you think they are worse sinners than others? And He said, I tell you nay. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He said, consider the tower of Siloam that fell, those 18 that died. Were they worse sinners than you? He said, nay. Except you repent, ye shall likewise perish. I believe the message this morning should be to our country. Were those people that died 10 years ago, were they worse sinners than those that are walking, living today? Nay. Because unless we all repent, we shall all likewise perish. The first Tower of Babel was the tower that failed. The Tower of Siloam is the tower that fell and killed those 18 people. If you turn over just a page to Luke chapter number 14, verse number 28, for which of you intending to build a tower setteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he had laid the foundation, not able to finish it. And all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build, but was not able to finish. Here's a tower that folded because there was not ample supply. Here is one that's unfinished because they ran out of resources. The Tower of Babel was wrong believing. The Tower of Siloam was wrong living. The tower here that's mentioned in Luke 14 is wrong planning. Who doesn't go out and count the cost before they build? And here Jesus said, this man goes and he's going to build a tower, but he doesn't have sufficiency. He doesn't have enough to finish it, and in the end he is mocked because he didn't have right planning. There's a lot of people today that's going to die without God and go to a devil that go to a hell that is filled with anguish and sorrow and pain and fire and brimstone because they had wrong planning in their life. They didn't intend to go there. They didn't plan to go to hell. They didn't plan to do those things. But life, death caught them in their life and now they're gone. And that tower of their life has folded and it's fell. So all these towers give us a illustration in the Scripture of what it means to serve God or not to serve God. Wrong believing leads to death. Wrong living leads to unfinished task. Wrong planning leads to an eternity without God. But I'm glad there is a tower that stands. I'm glad we're not at the end of the road yet. I'm glad we're not at the end of it. There's a tower that is a tower of right believing and right living and right planning. And that tower is called the old rugged cross. Praise the Lord this morning. We have a cross. We have a Savior that died upon that cross. And I thank the Lord He's no longer there. He's not on the cross as we see so many times depicted. But He's alive. He arose from the dead. He's not on the cross now. He's in heaven making intercession for us. And He is my high tower. He is my tower that stands firm and true and steadfast in a world that is so troubled. There is an old lighthouse in Scotland built upon what is called Bell Rock. You ought to look that up sometime and notice some things about the history of that. I don't have time to give it to you. It was erected right at 200 years ago and it has withstood terrible storms. And every high tide, the water is way above the foundation. And low tide, you can walk up to it. Every day, in and out, every winter time, bombarded by the struggles, but yet it stands. And thank God that is what the cross of Calvary is. It may be bombarded, it may be mocked, it may be despised and rejected of men, but thank God it's my high tower and it will stand forever and forever. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse number 3, the God of my rock, in Him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. That's our God. That's our tower. Psalm 18, verse number 2 says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, and my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. You see, the world may have their towers, but we have ours, and ours will never fall. It has been attacked on many occasions. It has been bombarded by the wickedness of man and influenced by the wickedness of Satan and that mystery of iniquity that is spoken of in the Scripture that we just heard about a moment ago. He's my high tower. Psalm 144, verse 2. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and He in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Thank God He is my high tower. He is the Lord. Even though this message might not be proclaimed at ground zero, it can be proclaimed around the country. And it should be proclaimed in churches all across this nation. If there's ever any hope of us doing anything else ever for God, it's going to have to be by the preaching of the Word of God. It's going to have to be by lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ and lifting up our Savior and lifting up the cross. For He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Now we have replaced preaching by programs and pageants and all kind of different things that make the flesh feel good and acceptable when we need to hear the preaching of the Word of God that tells us how wicked and wretched we are, a sinner in the sight of God that needs to be saved. He's my high tower. He's my strong tower. Psalm 61, verse 3. For thou hast been a shelter for me. Thank God he's a shelter. And a strong tower from my enemy. Not only is he a high tower, but thank God he's a fortress. He's a strong tower from the enemy. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Boy, thank God when I ran to the Lord, He gave me safety. He gave me security. He gave me a heaven. He gave me a home. He gave me a life. He's my strong tower. And the righteous runneth into it and is safe. He's the tower of our salvation. 2 Samuel 22:51. He is the tower of salvation for His king and showeth mercy to His anointed unto David and to his seed forevermore. He's my tower of refuge. He's my tower of strength. He's my tower of deliverance. All I have to do is believe. Isn't it an amazing thing how many people claim religion and they have missed the very simple, very easy understanding that all I have to do is believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We have all of our rituals that we go through. We have our lighting of candles that looks good, but amounts to nothing. We have people that do their penance, and that is nothing more than a work of the flesh that tries to make us feel better about our sin, and it'll never stand the test of time with God. Amen. I've seen people climb up the stairway on their knees because they thought they were doing what God wanted them to do. When all along they've been misled and misinformed from those that are in higher authority than they, and I say they will stand before God in judgment. Leading people astray and wrong. We have preachers that stand behind pulpits that never open the Word of God. They just give you a feel-good message. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in going to a place like that. So the Lord is my salvation. He's my high tower. He's my strong tower. He's my refuge. He's my strength. He's my deliverance. I ran to Him one day, and thank God He gave me safety. I ran into Him. Oh, praise the Lord, this morning we have life. But so many people just, they hear all the warnings, and they just go their own happily merry way and never think anything about eternity. And then suddenly, the Scripture says they cut off. A man by the name of Steve Hanchett has written a book called Isaac's Storm. It's a story of one of the deadliest hurricanes in the history of our nation. Isaac Storm is a very interesting book about the hurricane that wiped out Galveston, Texas in 1900. You can read it. You can read the history of it. One of the main plot lines of the book is how everyone was convinced that a hurricane would never strike Galveston. Even as one approached, the author vividly describes how the streets began to flood and people went about their merry business as if nothing was wrong. Children played in the water and men gathered for breakfast at the local diner, and no one fled from the storm that was about to strike. Some didn't worry because Isaac Klein, a National Weather Service officer in Galveston, assured them that it was not going to be a severe storm. Others simply believed that Galveston was invincible. Some thought since they never had a hurricane, they never would have. So for a number of reasons, people assured themselves that nothing was going to happen bad. Sort of like people today in their spiritual life. As a result, on that September day of 1900, over 6,000 people lost their lives in Isaac's storm. We can see the storm clouds on the horizon, can't we? As believers, we know what's on the horizon. We know that Jesus is coming. We know what's going to transpire. We've read the book. We've read the end of the book. We know what's going to take place. And yet there are Christians that just haphazardly go about their life and never consider the storm that approaches. There are people that we preach to. There are people that hear the messages. There are people that have read the gospel. There are folks that have been raised in Christian homes. And they've been identified. They've been associated with the gospel. But yet it doesn't matter to them now. The storm approaches, but it doesn't have any effect upon them. Oh, I've heard that all along. It's not going to happen. Where's the promise of His coming? Well, I've heard about Jesus coming all my life. He hasn't come yet. You're one of the prophets of doom that says He will come. Because the Bible says the skeptics will say, where is the promise of His coming? This morning, we remember 10 years ago. We've seen the pictures. We've seen the videos. We've heard the announcers. We've heard the politicians. And it's been turned into a political. Everything turns political, doesn't it? But it still doesn't take away what happened. Still doesn't change history. And some people today are living just like they were 10 years ago when it affected them so immensely that day. And so I'm going to be different. I'm going to change. Where are they now? There are many of them doing worse things than they were 10 years ago. So I'm glad I have a tower. I'm glad He's my tower of strength and salvation, security, safety. He's the one that we look to. My tower may be attacked, but He'll never fall. The words may come against Him, but He will stand firm. He will stand true. He is righteous. There is a day. Zephaniah says, the great day of the Lord is near. It is near. And hastily, greatly, even the voice of the Lord, the mighty men shall cry there bitterly. In the day of the trumpet, the alarm against the fenced cities, against the high towers. Babylon, there's a tower that failed. Siloam was a tower that failed. The tower in Luke 14 is a tower that just folded. It just had nothing to build on. But there is a tower that forever stands.